let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Well, good morning. All right, hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the Word today. This is our prayer and proclamation. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Over the last several months, I've been praying about what's next. What's the next sermon series that God wants me to share with you? And I was leaning toward doing a series on relationships. I love talking about relationships. I love doing, I don't really love marriage counseling, but I love premarital counseling because that's before the problems start, you know? Anyway, I was going to talk about our relationship with God, relationship in the marriage relationship with our kids, friends, church, and all those different communities that we're a part of. And the Lord just began to speak to me a few weeks ago and just really just emphasized the fact that worship was going to be the most important topic that I need to be talking about. Of course, I went back to the fact that this is the year of worship at New Beginnings, and I haven't really, I mean, other than mentioning worship in different sermons throughout these last 6 months or so, I haven't really focused on worship as a topic of sermons over these last 6 months. And I thought, you know, it'd be a great middle of the year reminder of what God's called us as a church to do and to be in the year 2023. And so if you don't have or have not received or gotten one of our bands, it says Worship the One 2023. They're free. They're out there at guest services in the lobby. You can grab one after church. We'd love to give you one of those. Why do we wear these? This is a reminder to us that my life is about worshiping the One. Not worshiping the many, but worshiping the One. Topic of worship is consumed me these last several weeks, probably a month or so. And as Christian people, we should wake up every day. There should be some time in your daily schedule to have a moment or moments of worship. And I know who I'm talking to, and I know the culture in which we live, and we live busy lives. Everybody got jobs. We got kids. I know you moms are thinking, when am I going to take time to worship? I'm busy cooking and washing clothes and making lunches and getting kids out of bed who don't want to get out of bed and rushing them to school and going to work. And it never ends, right? Listen, but if you're in the car for 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it is in your commute from here to there, put your headphones in if you got noisy kids in the back seat and spend some time just worshiping by yourself. There's always a time on your lunch break, in the bathroom. Nothing wrong with worshiping Jesus. He knows what you got. My own personal worship time happens literally throughout the day, every day, various times and places. And it just becomes spontaneous. It becomes part of who I am. It's part of what we do. You see, because of his sacrifice, I sacrifice. I've recognized the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary. I often go back to the cross. And the cross is a reminder to me of what Jesus did and what he paid, the price he paid, so that he could have a relationship with me, his creation. But listen, he did it for you too. And he wants a relationship with you. Now, he doesn't want us performing religious practice. He wants us to be in a relationship. We have a theme verse for this year, and I want us to say it together. We said it in the beginning of the year together, several Sundays. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. On the count of three, we're all going to say it in unison together. I want to hear you loud and proud. One, two, three. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, or your true and proper worship. Either one, depends on which version you're reading. But nevertheless, you get the idea. It's about sacrifice. He sacrificed, and therefore I am now sacrificial. As we consider the sacrifice of Jesus, what does it cause to happen in your life? I know that in my own life, the thought of what Jesus did causes me to wake up every day excited and thankful and eager to serve him and others. Today's sermon is titled, A Heart of Worship. When we see the word heart throughout the scriptures, whether it's in the Old or in the New Testament, the word heart, obviously in the Old Testament, it would be in the Hebrew language. In the New Testament, it's in the Greek language. But I want you to understand that even though the words are different, the meanings are exactly the same. Actually amazing how that works. And so when he's talking about the word heart, as you'll see in a moment in this song we're going to read, he's not talking about this thing in your chest that beats and keeps you alive. He's talking about the essence of who you are. Let's read it. Psalm 9, verse 1. The writer said, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. The word heart is the Hebrew word leb, L-E-B, and it means the feelings, the will, and the intellect. My mind, my will, and my emotions. What are we allowing to control? The mind, our will, and our emotions. With all that you are and all that you have, give thanks to the Lord. So if we're going to properly worship God, then we must develop, I believe, a heart of worship. So what does a heart of worship look like in the life of a follower of Jesus? A heart of worship is best characterized, I believe, by these five attributes that I'm going to share with you this morning in detail. The first one is a humble heart. I believe if we're going to worship God properly, we must come to him humbly. Psalm 95, verse 6 tells us, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, that word kneel is an interesting word. If you look at it, you would think it means to kneel, right? And to kneel to show submission to someone. But that's not what it means at all. What that word means is the Hebrew word barak, and it means to bless. So in other words, when we come to God and we recognize who he is, we don't come to him to just bow down in a symbolic way of worship. We come to him to bless him. So often, I believe, we have the mindset that we come to receive something from God. We come to church to get something, and God says, no, I want you to come to give something. I remember one Sunday many years ago, probably about 18 years ago, I was sitting in a church service. I worked at this church. At the time, I was the youth pastor, and I was sitting in the service, and the pastor was preaching, and I, at that Sunday, was not particularly interested in what he was talking about. And I was bemoaning the fact that I had to sit through the service, and this was completely irrelevant to my life, and why am I here, and all that, right? And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and asks me this question, why are you here? I said, well, I work here. Youth pastor, right? You know. No, you're not listening to me. Why are you here? That's when it kind of hit me that I had lost my reason for being there. My reason for being there wasn't because I derived a paycheck, because my name was on the roster. The fact is, I wasn't supposed to be there for the check. I was supposed to be there for the God. And he said, I'm going to ask you one more time, why are you here? I never went to church after that event the same way. And maybe you needed an encounter today with that question. To ask yourself in the question, why am I here? Why do I get up to go to church? Why do I wake up early on a Sunday, my only day off of the week or whatever it may be, to come and spend an hour and a half or so and go through the motions of this thing called church? Why? And I hope it's for the right reason. The reason is because you want to humble yourself before the God of the universe. You recognize his sacrifice, and you want to show him some appreciation, if you will, for what he did for you. There's a great story in the Old Testament about King David. Now, King David is really, to this day, is said to be the greatest king that ever served Israel. Greatest king. David was said to have a heart after God. He had a heart after God. God loved David. There was this instance where the Ark of the Covenant, by the way, if you don't know what that is, the Ark of the Covenant was the physical presence of God back in the Old Covenant ways, the Old Testament. And they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant up into the city of David one day. And as they did, David went out from his house and he stripped off his robe. Some versions say that David danced naked before God. Listen to me, he was not naked. He had a linen ephod, which was underwear. He had his drawers on. But David took off his kingly garments, because you understand, when David would walk down the streets of Jerusalem, the city of David, on any given day, at any given moment, he was surrounded by throngs of people, his subjects, his army, his guards, and there was no doubt which one in the group was the king because he had on the kingly garments. But David takes off the kingly garments and he goes out into the streets and he dances. Let me read it for you. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and with the sounds of trumpets. And as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, his wife, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. David removes the kingly garments. Why? Because he didn't want people that day, the people of God, the people of Israel, to notice him as the king, because the real king was coming in. I want you to know, I don't want people to know who I am. I want them to know who he is. And we got to sometimes let me take my title out of the way so I can point you to the real king. He removes his garments, gets down and abases himself, and he dances before God. I want you to understand something. I now sit in the front row, not because I work here. I sit in the front row because when I first got saved, I sat in the back row. Nothing wrong with you back row people. But I sat in the back row because I always, as a kid, I sat in the back row on the bus. I sat in the back row in school because I could always cut up in the back row. And you know what I found as a Christian? I got saved and I would sit in the back row and I was too busy worried about what everybody had on, about how you worshiped or how you didn't worship. And I would even ask questions like, I wonder if they have mirrors in the house. I wonder if they're colorblind, because them things don't even match. So I said, you know what, Peggy, we're sitting in the front row. She said, I don't want to sit in the front row. Everybody be looking at the back of my head. I said, who cares? I don't want to be distracted. Because I come to church for one reason, and it ain't to look at what you got on or what you don't. It's to focus on Jesus. And if I got to sit in the front row so my ADD doesn't kick in, I'm sitting in the front row. When we come to worship, we have to take our identity off, put it aside. I don't care what title you have at work, what title you hold at home, who people call you, sir, mister, pastor, sergeant, you know, lieutenant, doctor. Your titles are irrelevant in the house of the Lord. We got to take the titles off and make sure that the real king is exalted in the house of the Lord. Amen. We got to come ready to bring God worship, a humble heart. The second characteristic of a heart of worship is a happy heart. Psalm 100, verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his people, the people of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we come to worship, we should bring the happiest of all hearts we can bring, because we know and we understand just who it is we're worshiping. I think the problem is we come to church sometimes because of religious obligation, losing sight of just who it is we're worshiping. Here in this psalm, Psalm 100, verse 3 or verse 2, it says, "Worship the Lord." Now that word Lord is the Hebrew word Yahweh. I want you to understand just what kind of word this is. The word is so sacred in the Jewish faith that they don't even write all the letters in the word. They're too afraid to even write it all out because God is so reverenced and awed in their eyes that they won't even write his name. That's who it is we're worshiping. And God is identified throughout the Bible in many different ways. Here are some of the ways that you need to remember as it is because we're here to worship the Lord. Amen? Here are some of the ways. He's known as Jehovah Jireh, right? Our provision. He's known as Jehovah Nissi, our banner. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's our ever-present God. He's Jehovah Rapha, the healer. He is all those things, not some of those things or one of those things. He's all those things, and they all encompass who he is. He's not the God who can provide or could provide or can heal or might heal. He's not the God who might be your righteousness, might be your banner. He is those things. And if he is those things and you know him, you have those things. Those are the facts. See, those facts make me a happy follower of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know who it is in who I put my faith, put my trust, and I know what he can do. I have seen the goodness of God, and I know. Just like that song said, I know it, I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful for it. And when you know that God's your provider and your banner, let me tell you what that means. Banner. What does a banner do? Identify things. You know what? I got a banner over me. It says, he's mine and I'm his. You want to know who I am? I'm a follower of Jesus. So it says right here. Right here. Right over my head. Big banner. Follower of Jesus. Holy, righteous child of God. No, I don't always look like it. Don't always act like it. That's irrelevant because God says it's true. Somebody say amen, right? Amen. Psalm 68, verse 3. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God, and may they be happy and joyful. If you're righteous and you know it, clap your hand. You see, when you're righteous and you know it, it causes you to be happy. Even when I'm not acting righteous, even when I don't look righteous, I look in the mirror and go, you don't look too righteous right now. That attitude don't look too righteous. See what you just did in traffic over there? You don't look righteous when you did that. Thank God that that's not the judge of who I am. I have a happy heart. Number three. Characteristic of a heart of worship is a pure heart. Jesus was having a conversation with a woman at a well. And in this conversation, Jesus says to her, yet a time in John chapter 4, verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come. It has now come because God in the flesh was sitting literally in front of the woman. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't worship God by sets of rules taught by men. We worship God by spirit and truth. God is spirit, and the true worshipers will approach him, here it is, spirit to spirit. You see, we can't come to God and mechanically worship. We can mechanically worship, but it will be contrived. It will be man-made. And God doesn't want your man-made worship. He wants spirit-to-spirit worship. He wants you to come in, strip yourself down like David did, and just connect with him spirit-to-spirit so that he can download to you, he can fill you, he can empower you to go and to be all that he's called you to go and to be. And the only way to connect with God spirit to spirit is to be fully and completely surrendered and submitted to him. That wasn't popular. I got five amens. See, that woman at the well, she understood that the Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. And they worshiped according to the rules of the Jewish law. But God doesn't want us worshiping according to some man's rules. He wants us worshiping purely as a true worshiper in spirit and truth. Worshiping regardless of what I'm going through. Worshiping in spite of myself sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus said, a time will come and has now come. Listen to me, church. A time has come and has now come. It is here. It is time. And I believe the church, God is calling the church to rise up. He's calling the church to quit worrying about what somebody else thinks about how I worship. To be quite honest with you, I don't care what you think about the way I worship Jesus. I'm going to worship like I want to worship because this is me and my Savior connecting on another level. Number four, a heart of worship has a sacrificial heart. Romans 12:1, we studied a few minutes ago, or we spoke a few minutes ago. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. In other words, church, listen. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When we pause and we think about all that Jesus has done for us and on our behalf, doesn't it want to make you live in such a way to somehow give something back to him? That's that bending of the knee. That's the kneel. That's that barak. I'm here to bless him, not to receive a blessing. I'm here to bring a blessing, Jesus. So often, I think we come like this. I got nothing to give you. I'm tapped out. I'm tapped out emotionally. I'm tapped out physically. I got a doctor's report. Doctor's report wasn't good. And I'm just tapped. I'm tapped out spiritually. Matter of fact, I don't even believe sometimes you're real because I pray and feel like I'm talking to the ceiling tiles. And I haven't seen you do anything in my life in a while. So, you know, it's hard for me to worship Jesus. It's hard for me to be sacrificial when I don't feel like you're sacrificial to me sometimes. Jesus is the most sacrificial. And the generosity that exudes from God should exude from his followers. Now, this, he didn't save you to get paid back by you. Thankfully, there's nothing we can do to pay him back, nor does he require payment. Praise the Lord, right? But I tell you, doesn't it make you want to do something to give back? I can't help myself. I'm thankful that he only asked me for 10% of my income because I'd give him all of it. We'd live in a box if it was up to me. And God's like, I can't get most people to give 10%. I can't get most people to even help the church be the church. Well, I don't like where you're spending money. Well, I don't like the fact that you got pastors on staff and they get paid. What you want them to do? Go hungry? I could set them up to the corner to beg. Right. Everybody else seems to be doing these days, right? But the Bible says that we're to pay a man who serves in the ministry a double portion. We make sure our pastors get paid. Amen. That don't happen by accident. It happens because we have faithful people who give. We don't build a building. We don't do this renovation and build a building like we're about to build on a hope and a whim, right? We do it because we have faithful people who give to the house of the Lord and we're able to do that. He doesn't require us to pay him back. But I tell you what, there's something in me that just desires to want to do something for him. And I'm thankful that he doesn't ask for much. You know what I learned about Jesus? You can't outgive him. I try. Give him some more. Give more. Give more. Give more. Always seems to give me more than I expect back. There's a law over the universe. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Now, I want you to understand, this is not just for saved people. The law of sowing and reaping is for everybody. Lost, saved, and otherwise. So I don't care what you call yourself. As a man sows, as a man gives, so it will be given back to him. You give out a bunch of trash. You give out hatred. You give out strife. Guess what you're getting back? All that and more. Give out good. Love people. Take care of people. Just being sweet to people. Kind, generous, love. Guess what you? It comes back. It's amazing how that works. Listen, what I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. So what else do we sacrifice besides finances? We sacrifice our time and our talents. God put that in there. He put that in there not so that you could be rich, so he could be famous. Did you hear that? He put the talent in there not so you could be rich, but so he could be famous. We're supposed to use the platforms in our life, the ones that God put us on, to make sure we tell people about him. I know you think, people say, oh, I love what you do. You're wonderful. You're this. Hey, listen, let's not focus on me. Let's focus on what Jesus did. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what Jesus did in my life. A sacrificial heart. And lastly, a heart of worship has a grateful heart. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. What's the message of Christ? The good news? The good news is that God came to earth to live as a man, born of a woman, died a criminal's death, never did anything wrong, rose from the dead on the third day, so that you and I could have eternal and abundant life. That's the message of the cross. You want to you carry the good news. Now go tell somebody else about it. Amen. Look what he said to the church at Colossae. Admonish one another with all wisdom. Psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, and do it all with gratitude from your heart. The word heart, that's the word I was telling you about. Here in the Greek language, it's the word cardia. Guess what it means? Your mind, will, and emotions. Same as the word leb in the Old Testament. Same meaning. Same meaning because God wants us to worship him with every part of our being. Everything that encompasses who we are should be here to worship him. Amen? Thankful in your mind, your will, and emotions. No longer in control because he now controls every part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I'm almost done, I promise you, says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you give God thanks in all circumstances? I know some of y'all wish it, please stop right now. Don't keep talking like this. You sound crazy, Pastor Eddie. Yeah, I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances, and that's what I said. Let me tell you what I do. When bad stuff happens, I go, thank you, Jesus. I'm kidding. Nobody ever does that. It's easy to worship God when things are good. The things that, at least what we've deemed good, right? Stock market's up. I got a big paycheck this week. My wife's happy with me. Kids are good this week. No bad grades. I didn't get any calls from the principal. It's a good week. I feel good. I'm good. But when things are bad, stock market's in the tank, wife's mad at you, dog crapped the rug. That's the stuff that gets me fired up. You know, like. It's, you know, sometimes it's hard to worship God in those circumstances because things aren't going according to your plans. But here in Thessalonians, and again in James chapter 1, the two writers both tell us that James says to us, Paul says that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. And then James tells us in James 1 verse 2 that we're to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Oh, I'm so excited I get to go through another trial. Thank you. God, let me stop for a second. I want to thank you for sending me through this. No one ever said that, right? But yet that's what James tells us, that we should consider it pure joy. I'm so grateful that I get to go through some more junk. Oh, my life is now full. Thank you, God, for that. This is what he continues to say in James 1, verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, we're to consider it pure joy as our faith is tested. I'm sorry, but the idea of considering it pure joy as I go through trials and tribulations in my life is foreign, right? Is it just me and John? John's agreeing with me and nobody else is saying anything. He says the word he uses is the word perseverance is the Greek word hupomone, and it means cheerful or hopeful, patient continuance. Oh, I'm to be cheerful and hopeful and patient as I wait. You got a smile on my face. I promise you. I'm cheerful. Jesus, I'm cheerful. Can I just be honest? I'm tired of waiting because I don't. The only way to exercise perseverance is to learn to be grateful. Here it is, right where you are. Now, listen, I know that many of us are not where we want to be. Anybody not where you want to be? How about this, though? You're not where you used to be. Woo! Yes. Thank you. See, that's the thing. You got to start to get grateful for right where you are right now and just start thanking God that you are where you are. You learn to be. No, here's the word. You learn to be content. I'm content. Yes, I couldn't think of that word. I'm content, not satisfied. Those are two different words. I'm not satisfied because I know this ain't where I'm staying, but I'm content, Jesus. Look, I'm content. And this is what the result is. Spiritual maturity. And one day, not too long from, you'll look back and go, man, look how far I've come. Still not where I want to be, but man, I've come a long way. And what did we just sing? He's not done with me yet. Come on. Because Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 6, says that he who started a good work in you will see it all the way to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Here's something I've learned through the years of waiting on God. It's always worth the wait. I want you to know how hard it is sometimes to say that, because I am the most impatient human being on the planet. Close, huh? Me and you tied for first. But I want you to know, as I've learned to wait on God, I've learned that He always does it better than I could have imagined or thought about it if I would just wait. Like I told you a little while ago, I'm just going to go in the coffee bar, have a cup of coffee, you go ahead and fix things. I don't need to know how. I don't need to know the why. The procedure that you'll figure out is way above my head, because I don't, you know what they say? It's above my pay grade. I'm going to have a cup of coffee and wait. You go ahead and figure it out. And you let me know when it's done, and I'll make sure you get the praise for it. How about that? Amen. A heart of worship is best characterized as humble and happy and pure and sacrificial and grateful. Today, I want to open this altar to the worshipers in the house. Those who say Jesus is number one, and we're here to worship him, not just in this place, but we're here to worship him wherever we go and whatever we do. We want to make sure that the world knows that I'm a worshiper of Jesus. Amen. Come on, make room at this altar so we can fill it up. It is good to be back. I miss my church family when we're not here. I love seeing your faces. I promise you, no more Sundays the rest of the year. I'm here for the duration. Tell you what, before we pray, let's give the Lord we worship a hand this morning, because he's good. If he's good, let's give him a shout of praise. Come on. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. You are so good. And we are so thankful that you are the God who not only deserves our praise, but God, we are the people here that are going to bring it. We're going to bring it regardless of the circumstance. God, we're going to bring it humbly. We're going to bring it happy. We're going to bring it pure, spirit to spirit. God, we're going to bring a sacrificial, generous heart to serve you in every area of our lives. And God, we, of all those things, we are grateful. Grateful for what you've done on our behalf. And we ask you, God, I ask you, on behalf of the people of New Beginnings, as we go, fill them. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your presence so that they can go be infectious followers of Jesus to the people around them as they worship you with their lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.